Tell me about the posts and Ludo.
Yes, Mr. Philippe Saint-André, yes. Ludo came over with a reputation from France of being a big kicker, and which we soon found out that he was. And the first game I think he played was against Northampton, and there were a couple of kicks that he kicked that went so high above the post that the touch judges couldn't feel confident in giving those as conversion. So Philippe came to me in his best broken English, "You must mend the posts." And I looked at him and he said, "They must be big." So, okay, "How big, Philippe?" "Oh, we must have the meters on the top." And luckily we'd have it. We'd got sort of like 3 weeks between that Premiership game and the next one. So I managed to get some tops manufactured, and the weather was still with us, so we managed to drive a crane onto the pitch and lift the extensions into position. And Philippe was happy for a week or two.
Are those posts still in place or have they been
Those posts are
replaced?
still in place. I spoke to Peter Ford a few years ago, and he told me that those posts were manufactured by what was it?
Fielding and Platt?
Fielding, that's all he had.
Yeah, I think I'd heard
Yeah,
that.
Fielding and Platt in the early 70s. I think, from what he could remember, he seemed to think it was about 1971. They were made out of a special spun steel, and we've had them out a couple of times. Obviously, when we moved the pitch westward for the building of the JS stand, and obviously we moved it slightly over towards the south stand when that was built, and they are still in remarkable condition, even though they're 40 plus years old.
And is it correct, the rumour I hear, that they're not acceptable to a Rugby World Cup?
Well, it's not so much they're not acceptable. I think the Rugby World Cup want uniformity with their goalposts, so our cherry and white ones won't sort of like fit in their remit. So I think we'll have having to look to have a set of white ones in place for the World Cup.
So, you have a storage problem then.
Well, yeah, it's something we'll overcome, I think.
I'm sure
I've got
you
2 years to work that one out.
will. I'd like to move on, if we could, Dave, to the development of the ground. Could you describe the ground as she was when you first came here in 1996? Go around the four sides and tell us what was
Well,
here then.
basically, on the Kingsholm Road end, there was the terrace stand behind the goal, and behind that, I'd got a double garage which housed all my equipment. And probably, if you remember, we at one time after Tom had taken over, we then had a big screen that came up over the back of that stand. And basically, the shed side has remained the same, apart from the new toilets which we put to the rear of the shed, and also the set of toilets which are down by the Dean's Walk end, which used to be open topped, as they said. We decided for a bit of discretion to put a roof on it.
So when were those new toilets put in?
About 1998, I would have said. And then obviously the West Stander was done at the same time, was when we added the extra hospitality boxes, because there only used to be the original 14 along the top. And then in, I think that was 97, we put the extra 8 in place of the terracing that was underneath.
That's on the old tump.
On the old tump, as you say, yes. And then obviously the stand at the Kingsholm Road end was put in 2005, which meant we had to move the pitch 8 meters towards the tump end, and consequently the goalposts were moved. And then also when we built the south stand in 2007, we moved the pitch another 2 meters towards the south stand to facilitate the development of the shed as and when it happens.
Yeah. Is there any sign of that happening?
Not as I'm aware of at the moment.
Yeah. Is it, again, a story I've heard is that Tom Walkinshaw saw a stand in France and said, "I must have one of those," which led to the Worcester Street stand. Is that right?
Yeah, I've heard that sort of story, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe where Tom might have got the idea from as well, was basically that stand at the Kings Island Road End is similar to the temporary stands they have at Silverstone and Wimbledon. And basically it's been clad round to make it look a more permanent stand.
Yeah. Have there been developments to the floodlights while you've been here?
The floodlights, yes. Pre the South Stand development in 2007, we used to have four floodlights down each side. And obviously, looking to the future, we decided, as we were having a new substation put in to facilitate the power for the new South Stand, it would be ideal to invest in a new set of floodlights, which are three times as powerful as the existing set we had.
Right. So when did those come in?
They were in 2007. They were put in at the same time as the South Stand.
Do you get involved with the facilities that Gloucester use sort of away from King's Home, like Oxtalls and now Hartbury?
I used to maintain the training facility at Oxtalls School when we used it, but we haven't used the facility up there for possibly in excess of 5 years, you know, since we've been at Hartby. Hartby's been the training place, and they've got their own ground staff who look after the pitches over there.
Yeah. Is it correct that the club were looking at investing quite a bit more money in Oxtalls, but then that got overtaken by investment in Hartbury? Is that the way it was?
Not that I'm aware of, no. No, I think, I mean, Oxtalls was obviously a good facility for training, sort of like in the 90s, when the club was still amateur, and obviously as the professionalism came on, it worked to a point for training it on a sort of like on a Tuesday and Thursday night. And obviously we used to use the pitches up there when we had under 21 games, under 18 games, and even some of the United games were played up there. But with the school being used as it was, I don't think, you know, we could have developed anything up there apart from maybe put some additional changing rooms on there, which there was talk about at one time, but I think that's about as far as it went.
Before the new stadium was built in 2007, there used to be the sort of, I suppose, what you call temporary hospitality boxes in the southwest corner next to the South Stand. Do you remember those?
Yeah. They were the similar sort of thing like they had at Silverstone, and you tend to find them at other events like Cheltenham races. They have them as you come up the finishing straight and things like that.
Because they used to disappear each summer, didn't they?
Yeah, but that's it. They were used sort of like either at Silverstone or probably Wimbledon and places like that. So yeah, they would come in and take them away, and we didn't want to be hiring them through the summer where there was obviously no use for them.
Right. When it came to the construction of the new stadium in 2007, did you get involved in that at all, Dave?
To a bit. Basically, it was mainly run by the contractors. I mean, the funny story regarding the building of the South Stand was they decided to use the halfway line on the pitch as their basis for building the stand, which I suggested to them, but the halfway line probably wasn't in the middle of the pitch, having it being marked out for the whole season. But they said, because it was there and because it was a white line, that was where they were going to start from. So luck would have it, it wasn't too far out, but we could have been 2 foot either way with the middle of the stand, depending on how much the halfway line had moved during the season.
So are you now stuck with having to put the halfway line in line with the new stand?
Well, it like I said, it hasn't worked out too bad, so yeah, it's with a little bit of jiggery pokery, it sort of tends to fit okay.